Right now on VFN TV, China is reportedly declaring war, according to The Blaze. The American debt crisis explains where we are in prophetic words, what God is saying about our economy, that within 6 minutes, that it'll change as we know it, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
Now that we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain. Arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Think about it, a global financial crisis. I think about President Woodrow Wilson when he had the idea of the United Nations and tying all of our economies together. The reports are the reason why he did this was if our money's tied together with other nations, we won't go to war with them. But the problem is our money's being tied together with other nations brings us to a place of global financial collapse. First, we want to look at Prager University as they explain how this American debt crisis is really coming together, what it looks like, and how we're actually indebted to China. Because in just a moment, we're going to find out where The Blaze is reporting that, you know, China is declaring a war, but it's an economic war. But you understand, if you understand President Woodrow Wilson and his desire to be able to design the League of Nations, eventually became the United Nations, the whole thing was to be able to tie our money together, like one type economy type system. And now, when China touches their economy and raises and lowers the value of their currency, it changes the whole world. The same thing with the dollar. We're also going to talk about the reality of a prophetic dream that came to Michael Bodea from the Lord some time back that said that China, Russia, and North Korea were going to make war against the dollar in regards to no longer being the world trade currency. And guess what? That's exactly what's happened. But first, let's look at the debt crisis explained, the American debt crisis explained. And I want you to realize this too. This was in 2014 when they were loaning money at 2%. Now it is 2015 They're loaning money at 0%, and it's $18 trillion in debt. Take a look at this.
If you are under, say, 30, you have a tsunami-sized problem coming towards you, and you probably don't even know it. That killer wave is the national debt. Countries, like people, go into debt when they spend more than they have. You and I buy things with the money we earn. Governments buy things with money they get from taxes. When spending outstrips revenue, the government is in the hole. Right now, the hole is $17 trillion deep. This is an incomprehensible number. What is $1 trillion, let alone 17 or 20 trillion? Common analogies like you'd have to stack $1 bills 67,000 miles high to reach the current debt, though impressive sounding, don't help much if at all. So let's bring the problem down to earth. Right now, most investors believe the United States is a safe bet. They believe, in other words, that they'll get the money they loan to the U.S. back with interest. But this can't go on indefinitely. At some point, investors are going to say, you have too much debt. You're a bad risk. No more money. What happens then? We don't have to guess. We can look at Europe, specifically Greece. Investors were happy to loan Greece money until 2010, when it finally dawned on them that Greece couldn't possibly pay them back. Almost overnight, Greece became a very bad credit risk, and the economy went into a death spiral. Businesses failed, thousands were thrown out of work, the government couldn't pay its bills. Germany and the other European economies had to step in and bail Greece out, but the Greeks suffered terribly. The same thing happened in Portugal and Spain. Yes, the United States is much, much bigger than Greece and has a much more dynamic economy. That's true, but the principle doesn't change. We can borrow more money than Greece, but sooner or later, investors will say no more. And if they ever do, our economy will go into the same downward spiral the Greek economy did. Here's another point. At the time I'm giving this course, the interest on our debt is very low, around 2%. But what happens when the interest rate rises from 2% to the much more normal 5%, as it inevitably will? Where is the U.S. going to get the money to pay the higher interest on its enormous debt? Do we borrow even more? Well, that just gets us deeper in debt. Raise taxes? Well, that cuts economic growth. Then there's the question of who these investors are who are loaning us all this money. The biggest investor right now is China, not exactly a trusted ally. The more money they loan us, the more influence they have over us. Maybe they'll never exercise this power, but do we really want to give them the option? And consider one final point. Is it moral to saddle future generations with this massive debt they had little or nothing to do with? How would you feel about yourself if you knew that you were leaving your children on the hooks for debts you incurred during your life? You had a great time living in a big house, driving a nice car, but you never paid for these things. You left it to your son or daughter to pick up the tab. That's why the people who should care the most about the national debt are young people. They're the ones who will be stuck with the bill. Seniors, and even those who are now in middle age, the ones who took on all this debt, might be able to shrug it off. But young people in their 30s or younger can't, or at least shouldn't. Is there a good way out? Yes, there is. If the economy grows robustly, the government will take in more revenue, and it can then use that increased revenue to pay the debt down. The second way out of debt is to cut spending. If we spend more than we take in, which is what we've been doing, we're going to go deeper and deeper into debt. Common sense would suggest that we bring our revenue, the money the government takes in taxes, and our spending in line. If you combine the two, robust growth and reduced spending, we have a real chance to get control of our national finances. So is the debt a big problem? If you worry just about tomorrow, probably not. But if you're worried about the future, and especially if you have a lot of future in front of you, yes, it is a really big problem, as big as a tsunami. I'm Michael Tanner of the Cato Institute for Prager University.
I mean, that just explains it to the T. Prager does a real good job of explaining things. And so we're looking at that. That was, you know, $17 trillion. Now we're at $18 trillion. We're not, our interest rate's not at 2%. It's at 0%, which means we're not recovering any of that money. And this is basically, from what I understand, how it works. The reason why they dump money on the economy is so that we can come out of something. How they take that money back in, for example, say there was like 100 $1 bills out and they printed those things and they want to get some of those dollar bills back, they raise the interest rate. And every piece of the interest rate that they raise, you have to pay that money plus that interest. And they just basically burn that money up and don't put it back on the place anymore, back on the economy anymore. So every time they charge interest, what they're charging zero now, that's how they pull that money back in. They're not pulling it back in at 0%. In other words, it's getting worse and worse. And every time they talk about 1% or 0.5%, what do they talk about? They talk about global crisis. Well, it looks like China is in the position now, the largest debt holder of America's debt. And we get back from this break, you got to see this. China is making adjustments to their economy. And according to the Blaze, they're declaring war on America. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Who would have ever thought that the day would come, you know, when America is basically having to follow China's lead? I mean,
broke.
You know, a bully never says, I'm not following their lead. But sometimes you're like, you're following China's lead. Because if you saw the economy and they just barely touched, you know, they're a communistic country, communism. Mm. That's a form of economy. And so their markets are not like our markets. Predominantly, the government owns almost 100% of the land. Only a few of the government cronies, I think, got the land out there. Mm. So if they ever want to be able to put something there, they'll just push your building down and put something up there. And we're actually merged our economies with somebody like that. A country who says, by the way, you can only have one child. And if you have any more than that, you have to abort it or you have to take care of yourself. The government's not going to take care of it. Well, we're actually praising a government like that, which is crazy. But look at this. The day is coming now where the biggest owner of our debt, who just touched their money a little bit, it affected everybody. Everybody started panicking. If you would have saw the recent drop in the markets, it was like the biggest drops in the history of the market took place. And it's amazing. It's like when major things go wrong, now they just kind of just brief it off. It's like, oh, just shake it off.
No big deal. Correction.
No big deal.
Correction.
Because our economy runs on confidence. So if people lose their confidence, they lose their job and they don't get on TV going, oh, you're making money on your retirement accounts and all. So take a look at this. This is the Blaze talking about China waging war. And think about it. Now, President Woodrow Wilson, you know, the whole
we could have done without. We could have done without that one.
You know, and he did it. He thought he was doing something good. The League of Nations, which birthed the United Nations, which today the Pope and the President and the majority of Muslim nations are going and doing away with Christians and Jews. You know, the Pope. I don't think they say the Pope is actually doing those things, but he's partnering with an organization with supporting a Palestinian nation who is against Israel. And it's just some crazy days. But take a look. This is China, according to the Blaze. They put it together really, really good, declaring war. Take a look.
It is going to get harder and harder to be a leader in our own communities and take these steps in our own communities. But it is more important than ever because the world is rapidly changing and we have to be ready. All signs point to a massive downturn before things are going to get better. And last week, China made some surprise adjustments to their economy that should send a chill down your spine. Our chief researcher for The Blaze, Jason Buttrill, breaks it all down. Watch. China declares war.
Everyone's talking about China's surprise move last week, but no one has the stomach to admit the truth. They've launched all-out economic warfare. China devalued their currency, kicking off the biggest fall in over two decades. Why would a country do that to themselves? Sounds like a mistake, right? But China makes most of their money off exports. So they need a lower currency value in order to keep pumping out those cheap, plastic, made-in-China toys our kids have. So the move makes sense for their economy. Their credit situation is reaching critical levels. It's worse than Japan's was during the catastrophic 1980s economic collapse. So why is this tantamount to economic warfare? First of all, you're not supposed to be able to just manipulate currency this easily. There's reasons why there's restrictions to prevent this. It kind of affects everyone in the region and the globe. Other nations are now scrambling. They've been forced to do the same thing, devalue their own currencies to stay competitive with China's rates. So what China has effectively done is trigger a global economic war. But what about America? There's a very real chance that a tsunami of deflation crashes into Western economies. During the Great Depression, high tariffs all over the world kicked off severe deflation here in the US. The price of everyday stuff was lower than the cost than it actually was to make them. The result? 25% unemployment. Companies went bankrupt. Another deflationary tsunami could have that same effect today. But the Chinese aren't stupid. So why are they triggering an economic war if it could crush the global economy? We need to look at this in context of what their overall goal is. They want to get away from that export-driven economy, reduce the number of made-in-China junk shipped around the globe, and transform into a consumer-based economy, kind of like the one we have. They're betting that this move will give them a huge short-term boost, one big enough to propel them all the way through this massive economic transformation. Now, here's the second part, and this is crucial. China is trying to destroy the dollar. They want to be the world reserve currency. And if severe deflation kicks off a depression in the Western world, the opportunity will be there for this to actually happen. John Kerry's recent quote was telling. He foreshadowed the demise of the dollar.
And when they have not only come to the table, but they made a deal, we turn around and nix the deal and then tell them you're going to have to obey our rules on the sanctions anyway. That is a recipe very quickly, my friends, business people here, for the American dollar to cease to be the reserve currency of the world.
In my opinion, his comments seemed forced into a conversation about the Iran deal. This happened on the exact same day China made their surprise moves. We're seeing the beginnings of a dangerous, non-conventional war.
So you're looking at this, you know, you saw who the major debt holder is for America, and we keep printing money, which means we have to keep borrowing money. If they ever begin to charge any interest on that debt, we'll have to borrow money. It's like $850 billion a month for just to pay interest.
Yeah. For the last 10 years.
Yeah, you think about that. And so here we are, and we talked about it. We'll make it a related, it's important because prophecy needs to be confirmed. And we'll make it related so you can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But this was prophesied about. And Michael Bodea, the Lord had shown him how Russia, China, and North Korea were going to make war on the dollar, basically. And they were going to say, this is the words that they said. They made a covenant. He actually saw them in this room, the leader of Russia, the leader of China, and the leader of North Korea. And originally you would think North Korea, but now North Korea is a player in the context of this.
And nuclear weapons.
They have nuclear weapons. And so the question was, why should the dollar be the world trade currency? You know, we need to change that. They made a covenant to change that. And it's happening right now. You just saw that. They're making war. They want to be the world trade currency. And what does that mean? That means this, that thanks to Nixon and all that took place in his administration, they removed 60s. The gold standard for money, where you had to have, you know, dollars worth of gold for a dollar. They got rid of that, and they said, let's just base it on oil. And they made the trade currency on the dollar because America was strong, and it was the place everybody wanted to keep their gold. So no matter whether you have rubies or kronas or shekels or whatever you have for your money, you have to actually convert it to dollars before you buy oil. That's what everybody has. Even the people... You know, when they had King Hussein, or King Hussein was found in that his palace in that hole, Saddam Hussein, they actually found you know, American dollars.
Benjamins.
And you think, well, why did he have them? Because that's the only way that they could actually get the oil that's refined, because they didn't have a couple of refineries. And so that's the whole world's, you know, submitted to the dollar. But our current leadership's destroying the dollar. They're destroying it. And what does China say? We want people to turn their money into China's money to buy oil. That's what that means. Can you imagine, before you go to the pumps, you have to go to somewhere and change your money to the value of China's currency? You say, well, I still pay with dollars. Yes, but it's equal to whatever they decide that your dollar's worth. So a dollar's worth of gas could be actually $10 it would cost you for a gallon of gas versus $2 for a gallon of gas, because China would determine how much money we pay for our fuel. That's where we are today. This is very interesting times. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about, you know, prophecy. You know, prophecy and what the Lord has revealed to us very specifically about the economy in 6 minutes being transformed and changing and just crashing, basically. The paper money being taken off the face of this earth, and probably digital currency being loosed, and so much more. We get back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Imagine this, and it's you know, I was talking with somebody from Denmark, you know, and Denmark has a high tax rate. I guess it's socialist if it's that high.
Yeah.
And it says they're very happy people. I mean, you think about it, because you don't have to work. You just, you know. This guy hadn't worked like maybe 2 years. So he hasn't contributed, right? And so he says to me, I'm saying, your tax rates are like 50% in Denmark. Just guess, you know, estimating at the time we're talking. He says, I don't care if they tax more. I'm like, but you're not paying anything into the tax. He's living off the tax rate. And so many people are buying in. This is slavery. The definition of slavery is your tax rate. If you're 100% taxed, you're a slave. You might be a good treated slave, but you're a slave. In other words, you go to work and you don't even see your paycheck, because they take all your money in taxes. And then they say, here's your place to live. Here's a crust of bread. You know, and I'll see you tomorrow in the workplace. So when somebody says they want to be 51% taxed, they're saying, I'm willing to give up 51% of my freedom. When you're seeing these debt figures, this is slavery is ahead. Slavery is ahead for all of the world if we don't wake up. America was an experiment. It was a democracy, this representative government, this republic. I mean, if you look at the context of history, it was a new thing. The founders thought it might not last for, you know, 50 years. You know, Israel's the only other democracy in the Middle East.
It's the only democracy.
Which means freedom, where you have something to say. I mean, if you go back and look at our program about the Magna Carta and what happened during King John's reign, that's where this stuff came from, and those ideas and those concepts. Prior to that, you had a ruthless dictator. Most of the world's history is under some dictator that could just say, off with your head, I want your wife. You know, just all your land, whatever. And which means the probability, it wouldn't be hard to go back to that. But freedom's not free. We have to say, we got to quit spending more money than we're making. We have to decide what we're going to do in the context of this. And if you understand tax rate, when somebody says, I'm okay with 50% tax rate, they said, I'm okay for 50% a slave. Somebody says, I'm not a slave. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens.
Find out.
Don't pay your taxes. Isn't it interesting, too, that this current president, I believe the numbers were 36,000 new employees with IRS.
Wow.
36,000. We counted, you go back and listen to Make It Related, a program that we talked about how many counties there are actually in America, and parishes, same thing. And there's one IRS representative now for every single one of them. And they're collecting health care premiums, which not only is it your tax on your business and your income, but it's actually the tax on your health. You're looking at going into a institutionalized slavery. That's what's ahead if we don't. And somebody says, well, you know, he's a good master. Today,
I mean, when Israel went in under Joseph with Pharaoh, it was pretty cool. But after that, it was not cool at all. I began to cry out.
I just met a Russian exchange student. She told me that they love Putin in Russia because the economy is better. I said, well, what does that mean? She says, well, we have free healthcare, we have free dental, everything is cheap, everything is just given to us. It's just good. America is just too expensive.
Yes.
And just there was no correlation with you're a slave. You're working, and it's you don't own anything.
You know, the Lord gave me several prophetic dreams in John 2 and others, but I was sitting in this particular office space. You know how those pods are set up where you have these fake walls, and where tons of us are in there, and we're entering in data. And this is what's happening to us today, that we have people that are entering in and collecting every piece of data on every one of us that you can imagine. And as we were gathering this information and we were putting it in, all of a sudden it came to me, and the Lord told me that this is a tracking system. This is a way to be able, and then all of a sudden, we couldn't say nothing out loud. They wouldn't let us say anything out loud, but we had a billboard inside of our pods, and we could write stuff and communicate to everybody based on what we wrote down. And what I wrote, John, on that board for everybody in this large, huge office that was gathering all the data on all the people that they can was, this is the mark of the beast, and the number of his name is 666. I mean, that's what happened. And it's like all this data, it's all they're doing is just gathering and formulating, profiling based off your data and data and data and data. You know, during the Holocaust, they tattooed numbers on the Jews' arms so they could track them with some sort of written hand ledger. Now they can actually tattoo us in their digital world and follow us everywhere we go, everything we do. And we have to wake up. This is where we are. And he says very specifically, and it has to do with the economy. Can you read that for us from Revelations?
Yeah.
So when you think about what's the economy have to do with the mark of the beast, and what is China owning most of our debt and then printing $18 trillion and going against Israel, as we talked about in our present program. This is it's all about the economy. It's all about the economy when it comes time to this end time fulfillment, and it's specifically about, you know, this beast comes out of the ground, right? This beast, and it's like puts a mark on folks. Well, take a look at this. Listen to what the Word of God says in Revelation.
Revelation 13, 11 through 18. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast and on its behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666.
So it's written in the Word of God, and it takes wisdom, and you cannot buy or sell without this economic indicator, which says, you know, it's 666. But that's what the Lord was showing me in this prophetic dream. You're looking at it matters what you do to your economy. They can usher in this whole system to be able to start tracking it. And it's amazing. I think they're just waiting to get people to get the buy-in where they kind of just merge the ability to track. But you're looking at that this is a major crisis when this economic crisis starts going on and all of a sudden you cannot buy or sell. And what the Lord also showed me, he showed me paper money was going to go away. I mean, I'll tell you what the dream was. That all of a sudden, like this vacuum was in the center of the heavenlies, and so it's one area, and it's just sucking paper money off the face of the earth, and so it was flapping, and you know what it would sound like, paper being sucked up and flapping out from behind furniture and houses, and it just sucked all the paper money. So basically, it was coming to a head. It was almost like a mountain like this of money. Then all of a sudden, it just turned into fire, and it burned up all the paper money. Well, you can't track a dollar bill. you know, you use cash, you're pretty well, you know, you're safe from being tracked that much. And so with digital currency, they can do that. And how many people today are willing to say, you know, it's much easier to be able to be digital, and how many times we're paying our bills in digital. But this is, we're moving, and as a matter of fact, they have a vision. Microsoft, look at this. Look at this for a minute. Microsoft has a vision for this economy. You won't have to worry about anything. You won't have to remember passwords or anything. As a matter of fact, look at their vision for the future and where we're going. This is Microsoft's vision.
Imagine, these kids won't have to remember passwords or obsess about security. For them, every screen is meant to be touched, and web pages are meant to be scribbled on and shared. They'll expect their devices to listen to them and talk and sing, tell a funny joke. And as they grow and get better at things, their technology will too. They'll do things their parents never even dreamed of. Because these kids will grow up with Windows 10. The future starts now. For all of us. Get started today. Windows 10. A more human way to do.
They're trying to even push this version. Like, you know, it's free. Take it. Get it. Get it. And all of a sudden, you're just surrendering everything over to it. And it's like Siri and all the other ones that are going on. But it's like, here we are in this economy. Everything is there in place. They're saying, listen, we'll take care of you. Don't you worry about it. You don't have to remember nothing. You know, we'll take care of everything for you. It reminds me of a prophetic word given by Johnny Foote. And we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But he talked about, you know, the beast economy. Things were going to kind of boot down. And then it was going to shift back up. And when it shifts back up again, it's going to be everything shifted over into the beast economy. What that is, an economy that can be tracked, that, you know, they're aware of everything that's selling, everything that's being bought and purchased. And we're seeing that take place today. We're seeing that. As a matter of fact, I think about, too, that the monitoring of the world, the Lord showed me in this prophetic night vision, another one is where they took me into this control room, John. God took me in this control room. It was actually a leader taking me into this control room. And, you know, it was just all these monitors and all that stuff was going on. And she was showing me how every square inch of the earth was being monitored live feed. And she showed me one particular monitor feed, a video feed that was coming from the center of the ocean. And that's why this Indonesian airline drops down. I'm thinking, we don't know where the airline's at, because, you know, it was strange to us because we're so bought into the idea that everything's tracked. We know where everything's at, especially aircraft. And the Lord had me go in this encounter where I'm watching the center of the ocean and watching the current move, and the cameras were even on that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. But it makes me think about, too, that what the Lord showed you about in 6 minutes, as we know it. Tell us about this in front of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, I had this dream.
I think we're really close to that dream coming.
Yeah. I had this dream where I was at my workplace, and I was headed to my office. And as I was going there, I saw all of my colleagues were huddled in front of a television screen in the office there. And it was breaking news. And as they were watching the reporter and watching the screens, I noticed that he said, in a few minutes, I'm going to come back. In a few seconds, I'm going to share something, but I don't want you to panic. And as soon as he said that, I knew what he was about to say. I just knew in the dream, and I knew he was about to talk about finances. He's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. He's surrounded by all of these stockbrokers. And so I begin to go hurriedly to my desk and get all my stuff up, because I knew that things were about to get chaotic. And so as I'm exiting and walking out of the office, he begins to start speaking. This is a reporter at the New York Stock Exchange.
You're talking about prophetic night vision the Lord
gave you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he says, I don't want anyone to panic, but the world, now trading had stopped. And he says, the world's going to be over in 6 minutes, as you know it. Well, pandemonium broke loose there in the office. People were worried. They were terrified. And in this prophetic experience, in this dream, I'm standing up, you know, and shouting, hey, listen, go to VFNTV.com. Go to VFNTV.com. Because we've talked about this and warned about this.
Yeah, the torch can go to BFN Torch and see these prophetic words.
And just that quick, but it was a 6 minutes. It was a suddenly.
Now, what can you do in 6 minutes?
Crash.
Crash.
I mean, crash. You know, I remember 1987. My father was a stockbroker in New York at the Trade Center. And
Which is gone. The Twin Towers.
He came back, and I remember, you know, him coming at 7, 8 o'clock at night into the house and just worn slap out. And it was a big crash in 1987, you know, and it was a rough day. And so I grew up in this type of experience. I've been to the World Trade Center. I've been to work with my dad when I was younger as a teenager. And so these things are about to come to pass. And there's so many warnings, and there's so many things that the Lord is telling us in advance, not to mention that this is the Shemitah. We are right in the middle of the convergence of all these prophetic words.
So many people go, you know, why didn't God tell me? Why didn't he let me know? And it's like, he's done it. And if you go back and watch some of the testimonies of 9/11, you know, when these airplanes crashed and killed 3,000 folks in the Twin Towers in New York, they said, some of the testimonies were, you know, I was going to work, and all of a sudden, you know, I needed to change my shoes.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, I just didn't go in that day. I normally go in. And a lot of people's lives were spared. You know why? They were listening to those leadings. And so many people today aren't listening to any leading.
No.
And these have been clear warnings. These are not like ambivalent. You got to go, you know, find somebody who's, you know, so deep. And I mean, this is like storm coming now, prepare,
well,
you know.
In the final quest, a prophetic experience that Rick Joyner had, the eagle who represents the prophet, kind of an allegory vision thing that he had.
Final quest you're talking
about. Yeah, the final quest, the book. And
you can find out details on that on the torch.
On the torch. And Rick is talking to the eagle, and the eagle is saying, we've been given insight. We can see things that you know, most can't see. And he said, we've seen the battle. We've seen it all. The Lord showed us everything. And so Rick, in this encounter, tells the eagle, well, why didn't you help the people? There's a battle. And the eagle begins to say, which is a prophet, it begins to say, we couldn't help them because they didn't believe. They didn't believe.
So it's not just a prophecy. It's the prophetic warning of the Lord that you believe.
That's right.
That protects you. And think about this, and you're hearing us talk about dreams and visions and prophecy. You're in your Bible in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
So you know it. It says very specifically, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he says, in the last days, God says, so if you're thinking about who says it,
right,
I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. Even on your servants, which would be your employees, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Mm.
So when you hear us talk about having a night vision, which means we go to sleep, and all of a sudden, we're like in this encounter with God. And we're coming to some very interesting days, but understand this. It's being led by the Spirit. You have to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to commit my life to learn to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And to abide with Him, because He says, those who hear the Spirit of the Lord, that are led by the Lord. Read the book of Revelation. He talks about, and all these folks are telling you that you're going to be out of here before anything happens. Tell that to the Christians that just lost their head on the shores of Tripoli. Tell that to the Christians and the people that aren't Muslim enough that are running through countries trying to get up to Germany. Who do we think we are? We're like 5% of the world's population. We're preaching the gospel, saying that you're not going to be persecuted while we're being persecuted.
Mm.
Those Christians are our brothers and sisters. He said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did it to me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of mine, you didn't do to me, which is one of my biggest struggles right now. Dear God, how can we help our Christian brothers and sisters? And that's what we're constantly talking about on VFN TV and the daily radio program, just letting you know we got to do something. You cannot be silent. You will be held accountable for your generation and what you're doing, for what you're seeing. And so God is warning us, and He's letting us know, but He says specifically that He'll actually direct you. Read the book of Acts like you're in it. Watch how God appears in a vision. All of a sudden, you know, Paul has a dream from a guy from Macedonia, this night vision, and the guy's going, we need help. We need help. I mean, American Christians would go, I need 15 more dreams. I need to work to get my 401k, right, and then I'll go to Macedonia.
That's right.
Paul concluded that moment that he was going to pack up and he's going to leave. He's going to go to Macedonia.
Led by the Spirit of God. It was an encounter.
Going on a ship. You think about this, going on the ship, he is in chains on the ship.
God told him he has something for him to do. He wasn't even worried about the storm that was hitting the ship. Everybody was panicking, and he's the one that calmed them down because the Lord just talked to me in a dream last night and said that I got things for you to do. If you stay with the boat, you're going to make it. This is the God that we serve. He lives and he breathes and he walks with us. I mean, every day he walks with us. He wants you to walk with him. That's why we talk about abiding. Go to iabide.org and begin to learn how to walk with God, hear his voice, and let him lead you. And these are great days for the church, I'm telling you. But you have to actually know him, who you profess, and hear him. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow none other. None other. We'll talk more about this out of the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This has been a pretty major program. If this is the first time you've heard anything like this, you're probably like stunned. But understand, you know, we've been God's been unfolding this over time, but it's now it's time to listen, because 6 minutes is no time to be able to make any decisions. You would have had to make it before then. And in that vision that God gave John, that he was already prepared, he knew where to send people, and it was to what we're talking to you about. One thing you can do, and we very seldom talk about this, is let God see you standing for the light. You know, partner with VFN TV. Take some of your stuff while you have it and say, I want to put it on God. I want to put it on this word. How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again while you watch the commercials where they make the money off of it. What can you do? This is an answer. There was a prophetic word given, and we have it available for you at VFNTV.com. When you click under About, and you can see the word that was given, God is going to raise up new anchors that are hearing his voice, and they can tell you not only the news, but the news behind the news. A prophetic, what is this? You can see what's going on, but what does this really mean? God will tell you and tell us what that really means, and we can all begin to know in part and prophesy in part, but get a better vision of what's taking place. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We already know the news. We're trying to change that news. We're trying to make it a better thing.
That's right.
Prophecy is actually knowing what's going to happen in advance. And the reason why God would let us know something terrible is coming, for example, is so that we can pray and ask him not for it, for not to happen. And we can go tell people, listen, we got to repent, because if we don't, this thing's coming. It's called a prophetic warning. And so here we are. One specific way you can do is to do that. The second thing is to sign up for the newsletter, the VFN Torch. Immediately, you're going to have access to a 3 gifts that we're going to give you. But one of them is called prudent preparation. You need to prepare. You're going to be so vulnerable. John, it was so vulnerable when we got hit by 5 hurricanes.
It's the anniversary of Hurricane Ivan now.
But our state got hit by 5 hurricanes. And, you know, you can say what you want to, but if you didn't prepare for it, if you didn't have enough to prepare for it, there's nothing you could do. There's no running water. There's no electricity. There's not enough food to take care of those that are around you. And I remember standing there with the insurance company, and I'm looking at this insurance agent, John, and I'm talking to her, and it's somebody that you've been paying money to for years, and supposedly they're going to be there for you in this time of crisis. By the way, the small print says, we do not insure you for acts of God or terror. Your insurance company's not going to be there. If your home gets blown up by terrorism, by an act of war, you're probably not going to be covered. And for some reason, anything negative, they claim it as an act of God. You know, it's kind of strange. But they say they don't believe in God, but yet they got it.
Of course.
So you're sitting there, and they're saying they weren't even going to pay this premium, right? And it's like, you know, all this money we paid in for years and years on end. And, you know, God touched her heart, and they wrote me a check, which they don't normally do, for like $2,500 or something that particular time. And I was able to get some food for all the people that were around us and be able to take care of some things we had to take care of. But then at that point, you're kind of locked down to
That's it.
You know, they had martial law basically going on.
Oh, they did.
What's that called?
Martial law. We weren't able to get gas after a certain time. And it had a curfew.
After a certain curfew. Curfew too. And it just, your life is totally taken over at that point. And
with a gun, said you had to go home.
Yeah.
With a gun.
Yes. And people are not nice. You know, people, this is what Armageddon, this movie Armageddon, and this is not Armageddon.
National Geographic put it together.
They put a movie called Armageddon together, and it says rich people are nice till they're not rich anymore. And you don't know who you really are
and what you really depend on till you go through something. And people just change. They tell you that everything's fine, but the truth is they're trusting in what they know and their knowledge, their money, their 401ks. But if you don't have that anymore, by the way, if the stock market crashes, all those people that are riding around and spending all that money, thinking I got this next check coming in, it stops. Mm. The currency stops. And the government can even make a ruling that says there was a particular ruling put out by FDR that said all the gold, turn it all in. Mm. Turn it all in. If you don't turn it in, you can go to jail and have a $10,000 fine. They can put you in jail. So they just take all the dollar lost its value. And now you say you have gold or silver, and the government says, turn it in. Turn it in. Isn't that amazing? It's
wow.
They just totally take over. And the first thing of all the books that our current president had his staff read when he went in, he had him read the New Deal. You know, whoever his state says, they passed out that book, said, read the New Deal, because the crisis was here. And that's when FDR, you know, released all kinds of programs on America. And it's like, you know, we're at that moment. You know, we're at that moment in time. And what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you. If God's on your side, you're in the majority. But know this too, that God is saying, prepare. A prudent man sees danger and prepares for it. And a fool keeps going and suffers for it. If you see a hurricane, for example, you know, 100 miles off your coast, and it's 500 miles an hour, damn it, winds stirring up, you got 100 miles to prepare for that thing. It's very logical. And there were some fools that stayed on islands and different places.
Partied.
And they called it the hurricane party, and they didn't even pay attention. They just kept on thinking, what the big deal? And a lot got killed.
So they got swept away. And the
wavelength was flattened out. Well, this is... There's no storm that America's ever seen, what's about to hit America. And America, according to some financial advisors, and we have it on VFN TV, we showed it to you, he said, the whole world's going to get hit, but he says, America's like ground zero for the hit.
Mm.
A physical battle on America's soil. I mean, look what happens when people miss their ride at the fair. Look what happens when people don't get their way, even when it's an unrighteous thing that they're proclaiming. They don't care. They keep protesting for the unrighteous thing, and people who are in darkness get on the bandwagon. It's like, it's not going to be good. And some of the things, I know we're about to go to break, but some of the things that the Lord has shown me, that there's going to be gangs of people, of just the everyday Joe. If you looked at the gang, they would look just like somebody you're used to seeing all the time, but they're actually in this mob mentality where they're involved in crime. I also saw large Hispanic gangs moving quickly across the United States and involved in just rapidly, you know, doing what they do. And imagine, that's like warlords. It's almost like ISIS would be. And then, of course, Rick Joyner's talking about ISIS is in America. Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministries is saying 450,000 radical jihadists has come into America based on what the testimony of the Border Patrol. Listen, we have to prepare. Things are lining up. These dominoes are going to begin to fall, as David Wilkerson said, and we have to realize this is that day. I want to pray for you. You need to be ready for this. Sign up for the VFN Torch. Stand up and do something in the light. Let your light shine. And it's time for us to unify and come together. Stay connected. Let's do this thing in God together. I want to pray for you. Father God, I just pray right now for those that are listening and watching, Father God, that you would be with them, that you would awaken them to this urgent hour, Lord. Father God, that they wouldn't be caught by surprise, but they would be prepared, Lord, for this day. They would be prepared for anything that would come. They would be able to hear your voice and abide with you and follow you, Lord. You're a good God, and you take care of those that are yours, Lord. And I pray for those who have been caught by a spirit of religion that just say they're yours, but they don't know how to hear your voice or follow, Lord, that they would begin to follow your voice and hear you, God. Lord, I pray, save America, God. Save Israel, Lord God. Lord, we ask for your protection because of your mercy. We make an appeal to heaven. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening. God bless.
Shops. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.